cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
ARCA,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, busy. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could carve out a little bit of time to join us here tonight, live from the Racetime Radio studio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., and we are going to talk racing for the next 2 hours, and we got a dynamite lineup there. Junior, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be a lot of fun. And just so you know, I was nominated for the three-shot challenge by Rick Verburn.
I am not
doing that live on the air.
No?
I figured, you know, we could do it one of two ways.
Yeah.
I could be really opinionated after three shots.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Or we could just hold off and do it later.
That'd even be better.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm nominated, so I have to do it.
Is it Ricky's choice on what three shots?
No, it's just whatever you got.
Whatever you got.
Yeah, whatever you got.
Three shots of milk.
No.
No, it's got to be a high test.
I actually don't know.
Is it got to be leaded?
Yeah, I think it has to be leaded.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, you know, I could go against the grain and just do like three shots of, you know, Monster Energy or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would get chirped pretty hard if I did that.
Oh, I think you would. I get to film it when you do it, right?
Sure.
Okay, that'll be fun. I get to pick the three shots?
Sure.
Okay, even better. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's it.
Well, let me tell you who we got.
We're going to talk about race cars.
We are. We're going to talk in dynamite lineup tonight. We're going to get things started out, of course, Petty International Raceway. Out in the beautiful province of New Brunswick is back, full blast racing in that province. And Petty International Raceway back at the racetrack again last night. And it was the Bubble Buster 150 Pro Stocks back on the track. Some different cars this time, Junior, than they had the first time around. A lot of the same guys, but there was a lot of different ones also come out to try and make the field. I believe there was 25 Pro Stocks there in all. So it was a real, real good packed pit area for the Bubble Buster 150 again last night.
And a guy that is lighting the track on fire out there hasn't finished outside the top two yet this year.
No.
Ashton Tucker.
Ashton Tucker.
How about that old boy?
Silliker Motorsports, number two.
He's getting it.
Oh, is he ever?
P1, or sorry, P2, P1, P1.
Yeah.
Right? No, wait.
P2, P2.
P2, P2, P1.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't, like, if you can finish inside the top two, three races in a row, you're doing pretty good.
Oh, I'll tell you, he is doing really good. He's not got a ton of experience behind the wheel of that Pro Stock, but
no.
I'll tell you, he looks like a crafty veteran.
I'm looking forward to catching up with him because I've never talked to Ashton Tucker.
No, we've never had him on the show.
And you know, I'm looking forward to it because he's been not just lighting the lamp this year, but you know, the past couple of years building up to this point, everybody in the Maritimes could see this coming. You know, the talent level that the kid has or that the guy has. And you know, it's really interesting that he's just lighting her up.
Well, we're going to hear from Ashton here shortly. Also got Gary Crooks coming on the show tonight. Of course, Port City Race Cars. Gary Crooks down in North Carolina. He is originally from the East Coast of Canada, and he does a lot of business, not only out there, but all over North America when it comes time for late models, super late models, pro late models, you name it. Gary Crooks can get you dialed in. And he is one of those very knowledgeable kind of guys, and we're going to have him on the show tonight. Pick his brain a wee bit. What do you think?
Well, I mean, a guy that gets his brain picked very often because he's kind of the founder of the GRIP seminar down in North Carolina. Those guys, Enders and himself, Gary Crooks, have been, building this empire of really new age learning when it comes time for stock cars. It's not new. It's not a new thing per se to have, a smart guy hold a seminar or a course or, a guest speaker, a keynote speaker. But these guys hold like a 3-day course, right?
Yeah.
On everything to do with the chassis of a stock car.
Yeah.
And it goes right into the deep dive of, aerodynamics and trick geometry and bump stops and all that stuff.
Mm.
But then it also gets right down into, maintenance practices and how to win races. There's no magic wand to winning races. Everybody wants one. Everybody's looking for one. That's why the next best thing always goes off the shelf in a hurry.
Right.
But that being said, these guys have kind of cornered the market on tuning your race car. And there's a lot of guys that are already winners that go there and learn a tremendous amount. Just simply because these guys do it 24/7.
How many builders are there out there, whether they're big-time builders like Gary Crooks or whether they're a small-time builder, that's making the odd race car and trying the odd thing, and they'll take somebody else's chassis and they'll try and, change a little bit here, change a little bit there and make their own sort of deal, that don't really talk to the guys that are buying the parts and pieces. They're trying to keep the knowledge within the house and not really share the knowledge. Gary Crooks isn't like that. Gary Crooks, you probably got to be a customer before he's going to spill the beans on everything.
Yeah.
But he does share that knowledge, and he has classes that are going to teach you a lot of stuff. Whether you're a client or not, you can learn a lot from Gary Crooks.
Oh, 100%. And the way of the past used to be keep your notebook close to the chest and
right.
Sell the parts and pieces. But really, the new age of chassis builders is more along the lines of being a manufacturer than it used to be, right? You used to have to get a chassis from, a builder, and you would have to find all the parts and pieces that you want to do. You could buy a complete car. Since racing started, you could go to a big guy and get a race car built for
right.
you. That being said, that guy didn't necessarily put everything in that he, would want you to have.
Right.
Those are upsells. And he certainly wouldn't just freely share information with you. When you look at today's model of racing,
yeah,
you're racing against super teams because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you go to Gary Crooks, if you go to Fury Race Cars, if you go to McCall Racing Enterprises. Everybody with a Crooks with a Port City logo on their car,
right,
or stamped into their chassis, has got access to a tremendous amount of information and resources,
right,
on how to make that car react the way that you want to. The amount of information sharing today is second to none. And I think that, the two guests that we have coming on tonight are two massive trendsetters in the industry, and really have been staples in for a tremendous amount of time. And that's Gary Crooks and Augie Grill.
Augie
Grill with Grand American Race Cars, who's going to follow up right after Gary Crooks. But Augie Grill, has been a staple with GARC, with Grand American Race Cars for forever. And these two guys are definitely two individuals. We talk a lot about, it seems, on the show, Fury Race Cars, because we have a lot of involvement from the Pro Stock Tour, obviously, with Andrew Hicken and those guys with the 13
right.
team.
Yep.
Not to mention, we talk about all builders.
Sure.
But
welcome them all.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But when you look at it, we haven't talked a whole lot about Grand American Race Cars over the past, because really there's only a few GARC cars here in Ontario and really in Canada.
Right.
But Port City, on the other hand, is a very prevalent name up here across the board.
Isn't that who Junior Hanley was hooked up with back in the day?
I mean, Junior Henley's been hooked up with everybody.
Like,
but Park City Race Cars was in Michigan for the longest time.
Right.
Right, with Harley and you know, Gary Crooks. I believe it was 3 years ago. I want to say it might even be a tremendous amount longer than that. It might be 5 years ago. I think it was down south when he bought Port City. It was big,
2015.
He took Port City, you know, from Michigan down to Mooresville, North Carolina, and you, Gary Crooks, that's who we're talking about. You know, purchased Port City Race Cars and moved it all in house into Gary Crooks' shop, and is now Port City down there. So Port City has been, you know, a staple in outlaw super late model racing in all forms of template super late models, pro lates, you know, into the perimeter style from back in the day, and then as well huge name in modifieds as well.
Sure.
You know, the IMCA modifieds and you know, the not necessarily the tour type, not the tour type, you know, NASCAR modified style, but more so in the Florida modified style, or you know, the all pro modified, if you will.
Yep.
Depending on where you're talking about. But Port City has always had a massive presence. I think back to a guy coming up into Peterborough, and his name was George Wilson. You know, George Wilson the 77 super late model, and his first foray, I guess, if you will, into Southern Ontario racing was the modified racing at Peterborough Speedway during Autumn Colors.
Yep.
And everybody remembers him rolling into the back gate, and really that was the first time that, you know, I remember a Port City house car rolling into the racetrack, because, you know, McCall owns the area around here. And you know, for a long period of time, it was only McCall, really. There was Hanley, there was McCall and you know, the 69 auto guys.
Yep. Jimmy used to do a great job too.
But when you think back, you know, Port City was a huge name, and obviously, the, you know, usual winner, whether it be Seneca or Port City, of, you know, the big races that are just south of the border, like the Kalamazoo Clash and, you know, the Glass City 200, and all those were Port City or Seneca. When they started coming up north, you know, and coming north of the border, it was big. And and Gary Crooks, you know, has turned a new page, because they've really taken Port City down south. And you're seeing a lot of involvement from Port City in you know, Five Flags for the Derby. And you're seeing a lot in all the big super late model shows and pro late model shows across the board. And they're lighting the lamp.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I can guarantee you that. We'll also catch up tonight with Tracy Hoskins. And Tracy is our in-race reporter. She goes down south, and she's at a bunch of speedways down there. And we love grabbing Tracy and bringing her on the show. She was at Montgomery Speedway a couple of weeks ago. And, well, what was, maybe that was last weekend. She was also at Five Flags Speedway this past weekend when Augie picked up his win. So we're going to catch up with Tracy, get a quick report from her, and then parlay that right in to Augie Grill, short track race ace. Man, I'm telling you what, that 112 went to victory lane at Five Flags Friday night with his modified. He does it in a late model, does it in a modified. Augie is one of those guys that is a staple. He's like the guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to be great to catch up with. I know we've had him on the show before, but it's been quite a while since we've had Augie on here. It's going to be nice to catch up with him again tonight. It's going to be fun.
It has been. And you know what? Last year he was on, and we're going to ask him this question when we get Augie on here. I know it was a long time ago, and I know it's a sore spot for him, but we're gonna ask him what happened last year leading up to the Canadian Short Track Nationals.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that he had a race car in the box, ready to go, ready to race. Made it as far as the Canadian US border. I want to get the skinny on that. I know the rumor mill was flying at the racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to ask him about that when he gets on the program here, because I know a lot of people were definitely wondering. They looked at the entry list, and Augie Grill was supposed to be here. There was tweets that he was on the way, and then all of a sudden he never showed up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get get to it, and I'm looking forward to tonight. There's a lot of really cool guests that we're going to talk to.
Sure is. We're going to get to our first one, a winner at Petty International Raceway last night. We got Ashton Tucker going to join us right on the other side of this first break. We'll jump out of here, and we'll be right back with Ashton Tucker. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Hey, this is Ron Sheridan, Racetime Radio. We'll be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spend our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. And on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. Behind the glass, there's a
A little bit of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer to bring us back from that first break. But what do you say, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer? ELP. Sorry, kid. Sorry, you got to...
Who
got
is that?
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
I know.
One
I
of
heard
the biggest,
you. I've heard
one
you.
Of the best.
I've heard you say it three times now.
Well,
I've never heard of
it's
it.
It's okay. Well, one day, you'll get into some decent music instead of that. I don't know the stuff you listen to. But anyway.
Country music. I mean, you can't...
Country.
Yeah. All things country.
No, classic rock or nothing.
I know.
That's
the
way it is. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in a guy that has actually been burning up the racetrack out on Canada's East Coast. He's in a pro stock. He drives for Brad Siliker Motorsports, the number two beautiful-looking race car. And not only does it look good, but it flies with Ashton Tucker behind the wheel. He's with us on the hotline. What's going on there, Ashton? You winner, you. Good job.
Oh, thanks. How are you tonight?
Doing fantastic, man. It sounded like a great race last night for you behind the wheel of that, too. I was listening to Tim and Dylan and listening live from Petty International Raceway. And, man, you weren't going to come home second one more time. You were in it to win it.
No, yeah, we're definitely tired of the second and thirds down there, buddy. So last night we had a strong car and we weren't giving that one up.
Yeah, big field too, right? 25 cars and a few guys that we haven't heard or seen anything of so far in 2020. Guys like, Kent Vinson, a couple-time winner of the IWK 250. I even heard another Tucker name in there, and the 52 was there. That would have been kind of surreal. I know at one point you put the number 52 a lap down. That must have felt wild.
Oh, yeah, I never really expected that to ever happen in life. I was grew up watching them race and was lapping them last night there at one point. It was pretty cool.
Absolutely. When you get to drive by your idol, whether it's for position or lapping, it's got to be cool, right?
Yeah, no. It's one of the moments. Yeah,
absolutely. Funny story here. Not last week, the week before, we were talking about Petty. And you know, the performance that you put on, and, this was off air, obviously. We were talking about Ashton Tucker. And I said, if you were writing the script for a movie, that would be the name of the driver, you know, like Ashton Tucker. That just sounds like a cool race car name.
Yeah, it does.
It's like Cole Trickle, you know, it's just a cool name. Just so you know, like you should be branding that for sure.
Yeah.
There's no better way to brand it, I guess, than stand in Victory Lane. That's the way to do it, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a wild race for you last night. I know one of the toughest guys to beat is Jonathan Hicken on that racetrack. And you guys, for 150 laps the last time out, you were right there. It sounded like, at least from where I was sitting, it sounded like you guys were going to have another barn burner last night. And the 5 car ends up with trouble. He pulls off. The 53 was on the pole to start the race. Another tough customer out there. And you got by all of them. Man, must have been quite a race. Take us back through last night's show.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a really good race. I knew the 5 and 53, they were both going to be real strong. And 5 is always hard to beat there. But last night, I think we had a car or two. Then he just had some bad luck. And it worked out in our favor for sure.
Ashton, were you saving anything throughout the course of the race? I know with the cast of characters you were running against, it's really hard to try and save and stay ahead. But was there such a thing as saving anything last night for the end?
Well, last night our car wasn't really firing off real quick on restarts, so it was hard to even save at all. I had to race hard and use up all the track we could and try to get the lead. But once we got out, I could save quite a bit, so... Once I could get a lead built up, I was pretty good at saving stuff, but on them restarts, it took a few laps to get her going.
You love clean air. We hear that all the time. Clean air makes a big difference. Sounds like it did again last night, right?
Yeah, no, my car definitely needed the clean air, and it took about 10 laps to get her going. And once we got a few laps going, the car just came in and got better and better, more laps we ran.
Ashton, we haven't had you on the show before. Can you tell us give us some history. How did you get started out? Know you're from New Brunswick. How did you get started in this game? How long have you been running? And what were the steps you took to get into that pro stock?
Well, back in 2012, my dad decided to buy me a Bandolero, and we started our first full season in 2013. And we ran that till 2015 and won a couple championships. Then we jumped right to the pro stock after that and just worked our way up.
That's a big jump, right? From a Bandolero to a pro stock. You'd be living the dream at that point. But did it feel intimidating at all going from that small car into something that's the most powerful thing you can get in on Canada's East Coast?
Oh, definitely. A lot of people probably didn't think it was the smartest decision because I think I was only 14 when I first sat in it, but we ran a 250 there when I was 14, and that was my first race, and we pulled off 12 out of 30-some cars, so we decided to buy our own and go racing the next year.
You know, I want to say something about that because we had a conversation at Flamborough Speedway in the trailer about this very topic. Not about you, about the transition from series to series, like from car to car. And, yeah. And you know, when you look at the young kids starting out today, and there's no better guy to talk to about this than yourself that did this, but when you jump into, a small car, whether it be a junior late model or a Bandolero or a four-cylinder mini stock, or a street stock for that matter. When you jump into one of those cars, you learn the basics of racing, right? You learn the flags, you learn how to hold a line, you learn not to drive into stuff and all those great things. You learn the competition and the competitive side. But outside of that, every car now drives so differently that really, if you jump from a Bandolero to a street stock and then jump from a street stock to a late model, you're going to learn a lot of bad traits in a super stock that don't translate to a super late model, right? You're going to learn a lot of different things. And if your goal, your ultimate goal is to race late model, you know, when you're in Bandolero, then that is a viable jump. I don't feel that it's as big of a jump as people make it out to be. And you know, the conversation that we had in the hauler, it seems like it's a 50-50 split. You know, some people are like, well, they got to get used to a bigger car. They got to get used to that before they jump in. But then 50% of the crowd says, yeah, no, you're right. You can create a lot of bad habits. So it's really interesting. What were some of the bad habits that you had to get rid of when you got into a pro stock car from a Bandolero?
I don't know if there was a whole lot of bad habits, but I think it was probably one of our smarter decisions to jump right to the pro stock, because the Bando taught me a lot about car control and how to run a line and stuff, and had quite a bit of speed. And so when I jumped into the pro stock, I really needed to learn, like, the difference, like, the speed-wise and, like, the size of the car and racing around everyone else. But I was happy we went that way and we didn't go into any other divisions and learn any bad habits on our way.
We're with Ashton Tucker tonight, driver the number 2 for Brad Sillicker Motorsports. Out in New Brunswick, he won at Petty International Raceway, in case you just tuned in. Ashton's on the other end. Ashton, I got to ask you, with the last name Tucker and, you know, Sean Tucker, icon out on the East Coast of Canada, are you guys related at all? Are you guys related?
To be honest, I really have no clue. We might be, but I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be like me and Donald Chisholm, right? Everybody, yeah. We're from Ontario. I go out and I originally met John Chisholm and Donald in the pits, yeah, at Delaware Speedway. Everybody thought we were related, and I imagine we are down the road. But no, we're not like first cousins or anything, yeah, like that. I guess it sounds the same with you and Sean Tucker. Now, do you guys get together? Or have you sat down and spoke with Sean?
Oh yeah, I talked to Sean. Me and Tom are pretty good friends there. We talk to each other quite a bit, but I get asked a lot if we're related, but honestly, I really don't know. But Sean's a pretty good guy, and if you need any help at the racetrack, he'll be there to help you.
I can tell you, you're related when it comes time for winning in one of those cars.
Yes.
you've got a long career ahead of you, and you got to be excited to get this win at Petty. Was that your first big win in a pro stock car?
We won the 250 in Fredericton there last fall, but this is one of our bigger wins yet.
Oh, that's right, too.
Got to win at Petty yet in the pro stock, and was happy to finally get done last night.
Absolutely.
So home track-wise, is 660 your home track, or would Petty be it?
Petty's closer, but 660, we normally call home. That's where I started and been racing there for a few years now.
Now, which one do you like better to race on? Now you've won on both. Do you like one versus the other better? Does it fit Ashton Tucker's style better?
I don't know. I'm starting to like Petty a lot. I'm getting a lot better there and learning the track, and it's a real fun track. You need to be up on the wheel the whole race, and if you make a mistake, you're probably going to lose a few positions. So starting to think I'm liking racing at Petty a bit better.
When it comes time for pro stock racing, there's a tremendous amount, and really this is all racing across the board in Canada, really. Down in the U.S., we see, you know, a lot of teams with a different car owner than a driver, right? Like, down in the U.S., there's a tremendous amount of that. When it comes time for Canada, there's not really a whole lot of, and not to say that there aren't any, but there's not a whole lot of drivers that are driving somebody else's car. You know, when you look at it, there's not a tremendous amount of it up here north of the border. With that dynamic, with that being said, you're not driving your own race car, you're driving somebody else's. How does that differ, you know, from some of the competitors that you race against who own their own stuff?
Well, it's definitely a lot less work when you get to drive somebody else's car. I had my own for a few years, and it was only me looking after it, like here in the garage. So it's a lot less stress and a lot more fun to go racing for somebody else and a lot less worry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and how did that relationship all fire up? Was it a situation where you got a phone call and said, hey, kid, do you want to come and drive my car, or how did that develop?
Oh, no, I knew Brad for a while. He coached me in hockey there when I was younger, and then after a few years in pro stock, he asked me to try if I'd drive his there for IWK 1 year, and I just went on the next year and we started racing.
Yeah, I've been watching you now since you got into a pro stock scene. You had various pro stock tour races, and I got to tell you, you're good. You're really good. I've watched you. I can see that you're going to be a threat to win any of those races. Is the plan, if the tour fires up, or is the plan to jump into that Parts for Trucks tour?
I'd definitely love to run the tour someday, but we definitely need to pick up some more sponsorship to make that happen, and it's a lot of time-wise, but we'll see. You never know what will happen. We might find a sponsor and be able to run it sometime.
Well, keep parking it in Victory Lane and keep getting the trophies, and the sponsorship will follow, right? That's the that's definitely the name of the game, and sounds like you're doing that with two second-place finishes and a win to kick off the year. The sponsorship has got to be right around the corner.
Oh, we got two wins in a second this year.
Two wins in a second. That's right. That's what I was.
That's what you said.
That's what I said.
I thought you had two second place finishes.
I said two P1s and a P2, and Dad said no, two P2s and a P1.
No, see, we got two wins, but
that's right.
We just need to make the best of every opportunity we get, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you're nailing it down. How about the fenders on that two car? Do you have any sponsorship now that's helping you out get to the track?
Oh yeah, we got a few local sponsors from around home. They're White Lightning Auto Center. They're a great help to us. We probably wouldn't be racing without them. And there's a big Cam Fabrication. They're a sponsor. Fern Rob, JTR, Baisley's, NBCSA, and Yamaha. They're all good sponsors of ours. And there's a few more, but I can't really remember them off the top of my head.
Well, you're good. You're good, man. So what's the plan from here now? You got to win at Petty last night. What's the schedule look like for the number two from here?
Well, we don't really got a schedule. We just go whenever there's a race normally, but we'll probably be at most of the Petty races this year. And if Nova Scotia opens up, I'm sure we'll venture down there for a race or two if we can.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, fingers crossed things start firing off out there in the Maritimes, because I know there's a lot of thirsty competitors and even thirstier race fans to get out and see some shows. Ashton, you lit the lamp last night. Congratulations on the win. I know you're not going to be a stranger. We're going to get you back on this show more often, and we'll get up to date and follow you all the way through with that number two.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks. It was nice being on here and nice talking to you, and hope to be on again.
You want to believe it. Hey, are you on Twitter? Do you guys do the Twitter stuff, Facebook? How do fans stay up with you?
I'm on Facebook. We got our racing page there, but Twitter, not sure how to run that.
Well, I know Brad Siliker Motorsports is on Twitter, but that's the way I guess you can follow the two. Ashton, this has been great, buddy. You have a good one. Savor that
All right,
win.
Thanks. You guys, too.
You betcha. Ashton Tucker, driver of the number two. You're going to hear a lot about that youngster. I can guarantee you that, Junior. The guy has got it. I was surprised that Hicken had trouble last night. Trouble happens when you got a race car. Listening to Tim and Dylan, they broadcasted the race. Having a listen there. And the 53 was on the pole, Cole Butcher. Always a tough customer. You get him out front, good luck. I believe he developed some trouble. The 5 car, Jonathan Hicken, pretty well owns Petty International Raceway in a pro stock. That Chapman Brothers construction number 5 was going along. He had a great car and developed a miss. The car quit. He went down to the low lane. The car quit. He ended up, caution came out. He went into the pits. He was in there, I think, 4 or 5 laps, got the car refired, got back out onto the racetrack, did the exact same thing again, is what we could hear on the broadcast. So I had my fingers on my phone. I had to reach out to Jonathan and find out actually what happened to the car. And sure enough, they traced it back to water in the fuel.
It happens.
Yeah. They stopped and bought fuel, heading to the racetrack, filled the car up, and I guess there was a bunch of water in the fuel. Big storms, and, you know, consequently, you had water in the fuel, and those cars don't like water.
No. See, it's crazy. Back in the day, you used to have, you know, one brand of fuel at the racetrack, and you know, it was with the old built motors, those things needed a specific race fuel, right? Like a high octane, whether it be leaded or unleaded race fuel. And it was always fresh, right? Now these crate motors and you know, I don't know what Jonathan's running for a motor, but I assume a 604.
Yep. This is great.
You know, when you dyno test those things, there's two ways to make horsepower. You know, you can go with an oxygenated fuel, which a lot of series have, you know, deleted.
Right.
Or you can run 94 octane. And 94 octane, you know, I've tested probably 30 fuels with different, you know, with two different motor packages, both on the Ford and the Chev. And the best horsepower fuel was a 94 octane.
Yes,
you know, VP, which of course is a proud supporter of Racetime Radio.
Yep.
VP has a great, you know, right in that variance of 94 octane. But what a lot of guys do is they stop and they get it from Petro-Canada or wherever Ultra 94 is sold. You know, anybody who's done dyno testing. But here's the problem is a lot of vehicles today don't run good on 94, so it sits in the tank for a long period of time. And now I'm not saying this is what Jonathan did, but I'm saying this to, you know, because that is a normal issue. The amount of time that stuff sits in the tank means a lot, you know. When you buy fresh fuel, right? When you buy, I don't care from where, obviously we want to point you to VP Race Fuels. It's a great product.
Yes.
And I've seen it, you know, numerous times, you know, solve a lot of issues. So, but when you buy fresh fuel, whether it be in a barrel, if you buy it in a barrel, you best be using it. You know, if not, buy it in the 5 liter or the 5 gallon jugs,
yep.
The 19 liter, 20 liter pails, that are sealed. And don't reuse it. Don't stop at the pump on the way to the track. Obviously, there's times where you get into a pinch, but it's happened to us twice, you know, with two different teams.
Water in the field?
Two different teams, yeah. Once was in New Smyrna. You know, we rolled into New Smyrna, and 94 octane fuel is a dime a dozen down there, so we just thought we'd stop at the BP and get us some 94, and sure enough, water in the fuel, same deal.
Yes,
but it's a normal issue, and another time here in Ontario, same deal. You know, we stopped at the UPI on the way to Delaware Speedway the one night, and I'm not throwing which UPI under the bus, but, you know, we're not trying to get into trouble here, but...
Right.
But, you know, we did stop at a UPI station and got the Ultra 94 and sure enough, water in the fuel again. So two separate places, two very different areas and, you know, the same type of problem. It's just it sits underground in a tank. If you don't have a whole lot of high performance cars rolling in there like Corvettes and, you know, Ferraris and stuff, then that's who's buying the Ultra 94 and or the high octane premium fuel that's there. And you can run into that issue in a heartbeat. So, definitely a heartbreaker, but it's very interesting to hear that he had that trouble. It's a normal thing. And I've seen it quite a few times, with other competitors as well.
Back when I had Sauble Speedway buying my fuel from VP Race Fuels, Randy gave me, it's a little jar of paste.
Yep.
And you can put it on a stick. And what I used to do was dip my tank all the time.
Yep.
And you put this paste on the stick, you check it. And if there is any water in there, you get condensation. We had above ground tanks. Mm-hmm. If there's any water, get in there. That paste will turn purple. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, you run the right filters before it goes out of the pump. And it'll trap the water.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea for race teams to pick up. Like, contact Randy at VP Race Fuels. I know he's got that stuff. He could, to get a little bit of it, you buy tanks of gas wherever you get it. It'd be a good idea just to dip it and find out. If there's any water in it, you're going to see You'll see that purple indicator right away.
Absolutely. Anybody who buys a barrel of fuel,
yep,
100% guaranteed have that stuff, because if it sits in your shop for any longer than, you know, 4 to 6 weeks,
yep.
If it sits in that shop and it's a, you know, 20 degree day, but the shop floor, you know, is nice and cool all day.
Yeah.
But then midday it gets hot. Well, when it cools back down, that fuel is going to leak inside there. It's going to rain inside. Right. So it's very interesting, though. It totally depends on how he bought the fuel. If it was, you know, there's a million ways to get water in your fuel. But that being said, try to limit that into the future. And heartbreaker for sure. And I did get a Facebook message here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It says Ashton Tucker is one of the greats. Put him right next to Blankhorn and the boys.
Oh, cool.
And that's from Stephen Matthews, so from out there. But
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. It's thanks for listening, too, by the way.
Yeah, good deal. We're going to hit a quick break here. When we come back, you're going to hear from, how about the winner of the truck race? And you know, Kyle Busch, he got disqualified in the Xfinity race.
Really
interesting. Got a quick clip,
yes,
with Kyle Busch and his thoughts about that disqualification in the Xfinity race. So we'll do that on the other side of the break. And then Gary Crooks will be coming up shortly thereafter. So we still got lots coming at you. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. This is Jeff Wilcox. Racetime Radio will be right back.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be
broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Maybe you're tuned in on SiriusXM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Hello to absolutely all of you. Or maybe you're tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com that airs Racetime Radio a couple of times throughout the course of the week. or how about Gearhead Country Radio or 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or maybe you're tuned in on demand at racetimeradio.com because you can do it that way. If you're having trouble getting the show, you can always go to iTunes and just search Racetime Radio. And just like magic, hey, the show will pop up. Hit like, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. What's that?
If you're having trouble getting the show,
yeah.
Then you can't hear how to go get it anyways.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, if you're having trouble getting it, you're not listening to this.
Well, that's you've got a little bit of a point there.
And if you're not listening, you're like...
You're
missing out.
You're missing. We got lots, so much news to talk about, too.
One thing that I really need to talk about.
Okay.
Kyle Larson's dirt track finishes since June 5th.
Tell me
Everybody's
about it.
Seen it posted. You know, I think everybody that is a race fan of any type has seen the share. You know, there's been plenty of people, depending on how it's put out there, whether it be on a meme form or on a you know, a post itself.
Yeah.
But since June 5th, I'm just going to read these numbers off, right? These are finishing positions in a 410 sprint car.
Yep.
2-1-1-1-1-1-1-2-1-2-2.
Wow.
2-2-3-6-1-4-1-1-1. 6-1-4-1-6-1.
That's all finishing positions.
Yeah, there's nothing in between. Larson. It's not like they deleted. Like he dropped out of this race, wrecked out of this race, and then didn't. No, yeah. those are the consecutive finishes since June 5th.
Yeah.
Now he raced last night, so add another one to that.
Yeah.
Race last night, he won again. And Rico Abreu, of course, went to victory lane as well last night, but. That's incredible.
The guy is amazing.
Now,
he is
amazing. You look at the greats in sprint car racing, and I am not a dirt sprint car guy. So anybody right now that's listening out there that is a dirt guy is rolling their eyes because I've made it very clear I'm an asphalt guy.
Sure.
I love asphalt racing.
So am I.
And not to say that I don't love dirt racing. I'm not up on the dirt racing, so we don't talk about it a whole lot. We talk about it as much as we can because we like it, but we talk about asphalt late model racing more than everything else. Because that's, you know, kind of our wheelhouse.
That's where we are.
That's where we live.
Yep.
We talk about NASCAR and stuff like that as much as we can, too. But where our wheelhouse is super late models, pro late models, and short track Saturday night stuff on asphalt.
Yep.
But when you look back, Steve Kinser did this, you know, very thing where he... you know, rattled off amazing finishes throughout the entire month of July and August.
Yeah.
I remember being a young kid growing up, and the Quaker State car was just always in victory lane. I remember watching Speed Sport News and TNN. Remember when TNN was around with Rick Benjamin?
Yep.
And they would just take a look at all things racing, and it seemed like every single one of those was either talking about how great Steve Kinser was or talking about how bad everybody got spanked by Steve Kinser. You know, like that was just the way that it was.
Right.
But really, we haven't seen that lately. It's been so competitive. You know, there's a bunch of like multi-time winners and you know, there's a bunch of big name winners in all forms of racing.
Right.
But to go on that kind of a run at the competition level that he's running against, he's running against 30, 40, 50 guys that are at the top of their game in sprint car racing
dominating. It really speaks, though, to what Kyle really enjoys doing, right? He has a love for sprint car racing.
Yeah.
He always has. It was one of his goals when he was a young guy. We know that for sure. We had him on this very show like 12 years ago. And he was just a kid. He wanted to get in. His goal one day was, to run NASCAR. But one of his goals was to be a World of Outlaw
driver.
Sprint car driver.
Yep.
And look at it. Yep. You know he loves what he's doing. And the results prove it.
Now, out of that, they're not all World of Outlaws races.
Not all
and,
of it.
And
nope.
There's only in all reality, there's only a few of those finishes that I just read off are World of Outlaws races.
Right.
There's a lot of, local Saturday night stuff. There was a lot of speed weeks in there from Pennsylvania. There was a lot of different series that they ran, whether it be Saturday Night Invitational styles
and
different
things
like that. It's
limited right now, right, with COVID-19?
Well, everything's limited, yeah, absolutely.
Everything.
But when you look at those finishes, to be able to go from series to series, not race against the same guys every night and dominate, race against different guys every night on different tracks and different conditions. Obviously, he's got a great team there. They've got a tremendous amount of resources. Very smart. One of our local, and a lot of people seen a photo of the day pop up today on Facebook. If you're from Ontario and you're friends with Glenn Stires, you've seen photo of the day. You see a fire suit of you know, Kyle Larson standing there with GSR on it. That's Glenn Stires racing.
Right.
You know, for anybody who doesn't know that, when you look at the white sprint car that Kyle Larson's driving right now, when you look on the front wing, it says GSR. That's Glenn Stires racing. A guy that, you know, extended a helping hand to Kyle Larson and supported him, you know, after everybody dropped him because of the racially charged incident from back in during quarantine, you know, on Twitch. Just a really interesting deal to see, you know, Glenn Stires really step up and support him. And also, you know, to see the run that the guy, everybody deserves a second chance. There's nobody on the face of the planet that doesn't deserve a second chance. And to see what he's doing with his second chance, I honestly think it's going to make him a bigger star than what he is.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you gotta downsize to upsize no matter what. And I'm not saying that sprint car racing is a step down at all from NASCAR. It really isn't. It's different. It's a different style, different metrics, less money.
It's the difference between NFL, CFL.
Yeah.
Both of them are football.
Yeah. And
but one's got more money and glitz and glamour. They play
completely different.
Yep.
And when you look at, when you look at what he's doing with that, I don't think enough is said about how great of a run that he's having. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. There's so many rumors floating around, whether he's going to go back to Cup, whether he's going to go, stick with World of Outlaws or what the plan is.
Tony Stewart's got a plan coming together, right? He's got a series coming together.
Absolutely. So with that, it's not really a series, but it's from everything that I'm reading about Tony Stewart's new deal, right? And it's SRX.
Yeah,
right.
A short track series.
Yeah, it's a short track only series, developed hand in hand by Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham.
Yep.
They don't have a car style picked out yet, but it's going to be a car that it is 100% equal, exactly like IROC was.
Yep.
It'll be really interesting to see how it all comes together. I've had numerous conversations with people about that very series that they're doing.
Right.
And, you know, the teleconference, I listened in to the teleconference that the NASCAR Media Group put on, or not the NASCAR Media Group.
No, wow. I don't think NASCAR will be promoting this one.
No, by Tony Stewart and by the media group that put it on. He said outright that this is not a competition to NASCAR. They want to work together with it. When you look at what the fans are asking for, more short track racing, and more equal competition levels, you know, less about money and more about racing.
Right.
And when you look at Tony Stewart, he's not a dumb man. And if you look at a guy, and I'm going to, you know, obviously this is a racing show, but a guy, Dana White, he bought the UFC for $2 million.
Right.
He bought it for $2 million. And now that thing is the biggest thing, to boxing. It crushed boxing.
Yeah.
Right. It completely destroyed the boxing business model. But Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham, and I think the entire group there, have the opportunity to be the Dana White to boxing to NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
could very well be.
If they can play their cards right and they actually set up a racing division that is only solely based on talent and provides an entertainment value that is superior, look out. It's going to be really interesting.
Well, big action this weekend at Texas, as everyone knows. Trucks fired off there at Texas Motor Speedway just last night. It was Kyle Busch went to Victory Lane. He had one of his young drivers in the 18. Eckes was right there with him. battling it out. Here's what Kyle had to say about the truck win and about battling with one of his young guys.
You know, I try to be as respectful as I possibly can, but yet try to battle hard for the win. He had a pretty good run on me there, getting into turn three and almost cleared me. If he would have cleared me and slid me right there, it would have been over. But fortunately, I was able to just hang on his right rear. I try to hang on their right rear and just slow them down to make sure their progress doesn't keep going and pass me. And then once I feel like I'm even on momentum with them, then I try to get away so I don't suck them around. Because if I just stay on their door and stay too close, it's obviously going to get them loose and either wreck him or wreck me or wreck both of us. And so, you know, you try to get away in those situations and not crash a guy.
So Kyle Busch wins the race, wins the truck race, and Christian Anaka's second spot. Matt Crafton, the number 88. Menards Ford for Thor Sport comes in third spot. Good run for Matt. He's got two wins at Texas. I kind of thought he was going to do her. Fourth spot, good finish, Junior, for Stu Friesen. He's been burning it up on dirt, winning all kinds of dirt races, but he has struggled with the truck to get the speed out of it. But it was a good run for Stewie. He comes home fourth. Brett Moffitt in fifth. Tyler Ankrum comes home sixth. Justin Haley in seventh. Grant Enfinger, another Thor Sport truck for champion, comes home in the eighth spot. Ben Rhodes, another teammate of both Matt and Grant. Ben Rhodes comes home ninth. In 10th spot, it was Ross Chastain. I watched the race. It was good, but it was kind of typical mile-and-a-half kind of stuff.
Mile-and-a-half racing sucks.
Well, at times.
No,
at times
it's not at times. It's not at times. I hate mile-and-a-half racing. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if people hate that opinion. I do not like mile-and-a-half racing. They've tried so many different variations, and it is 100% the craziest thing that we continue. Like, there's 50 different ways to race Texas Motor Speedway.
Right, right.
And they continue to race and just stretch out and create the most boring thing that you've ever watched. If it's blindingly boring to me, I'm a racer. Yeah. I love racing. And if a guy goes and checks out by 2 seconds at a short track, I will call that boring too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like to see guys stink up the show, and I don't like to see strung out racing. It happens, I get it. But the fans cannot sit there. I can't sit there and watch a 3-hour race and watch just people drive around in a circle.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
No, it's not. It's not tough. Why is it tough?
Well, you know,
put a package together that actually races.
Yeah, I know.
And they're not racing. It's the most mind-numbing thing watching guys that are separated by 20 car lengths, 40 car lengths, 80 car lengths.
Yeah.
And not to mention that there's 20 guys out there that are going half the speed of the other guys.
Yeah, I know.
It's like watching guys drive around pylons.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but that's just my opinion. If you look at a short track, you look at a super speedway, you look at a road course, they race. There's racing.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
There's racing.
Yeah.
Put on racing.
Yeah.
If you want the sport to grow, that's where to go.
Yeah. Now, their next race comes up at Kansas on July 24th. So that's just next weekend. We'll see how they do at Kansas Motor Speedway. We are going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and some highlights. We will, in hour two, hear from Kyle Busch and his thoughts on that disqualification in Xfinity. We'll also hear from Austin Cedric, the guy that ultimately got the win in Xfinity just yesterday. But we'll do that in hour number two, along with Gary Crooks, Augie Grill, and Tracy Hoskins. We got a busy hour or two coming at you, and we'll be back with you. This takes 90 seconds. Back to you in Toronto, Scotty. Get us up to date, will you?
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and then boom.
Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight. We got Gary Crooks coming up for City Race Cars. We're going to hear from Tracy Hoskins. She was down at Montgomery Speedway and at Five Flags Speedway. We'll get a quick update with Tracy, find out how things are going there. And then how about this short track ace? Augie Grill is going to join us coming off the win at Five Flags Speedway in his modified. Always great to see Augie Grill. He's a thrill maker. We see him on the track. You know you're in for a show. When the Augster shows up, it's always going to be a dandy. But, Junior, we've got lots to cover off in hour number two. You got your questions all ready for Mr. Gary Crooks?
Yeah, I got lots of them.
That could be an hour long or 2 hour long show just in itself. Speaking with Gary, this could be good.
I really want to talk to him about the grip seminars. You know, it's something that I've had so many guys give positive feedback to.
Yeah, and you've watched them, right?
You've watched the seminar. So I've watched a handful of them just through Pit Row TV.
Yep.
Totally available. It's really cool. Each individual day has got numerous subjects. They break them up into subjects. You can go to pitrow.tv and you can purchase each individual subject.
Yeah.
So there's, tons of different ones.
Have you learned things?
A tremendous amount.
I can imagine, right?
A tremendous amount. And it's not necessarily learning one specific thing. So I keep on saying that there's no magic wand, right?
Right, right.
But when you tune into it, you learn a different way of measuring this, or a different, tool to get this accomplished, or a different way of thinking with a bump stop. And, it's just so interesting, and I can't say enough about the value of it.
Yeah.
It's worth its weight in gold. Now, obviously, going there is better.
Right.
Like, going to the grip seminar
is
a better deal. And I would suggest, if you have it, an inkling that you want to go,
right,
go to Pit Row TV and purchase a couple of them.
Yep.
Just click on things that you think you already know. Like tires. I thought I knew tires.
Right.
Thought process completely different.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, it's never been described to me like that.
Right.
And not to say that I didn't know that exact thing.
Right.
But man, is it ever going to help me in the future type of a deal. And, if you have any inkling at going to the grip seminars, go to Pit Row TV and purchase one of them.
Right.
And if you purchase one of them, I will guarantee you purchase them all, and I guarantee you go to the grip seminar.
Yeah, and you're going to learn a pile. Let's talk to the teacher, the professor, if we shall. We have Gary Crooks from Port City Race Cars on the hotline with us tonight. How you doing there, Gary? I haven't talked to you in a long time, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on tonight.
You betcha, bud. What a crazy year this has been. It's got to be sending guys like you, builders, for fits. You go to get cars ready, and then all of a sudden the world stopped turning for 8 weeks, and now it's just starting to turn a little bit now. Has it driven you around the bend yet, brother?
Honestly, it hasn't been that bad for us. When the governor shut the state down in North Carolina, we were deemed an essential service because we sell aftermarket OEM car parts, like stock lower control arms and stuff. So we were allowed to stay open. Not a lot of people know this, but we started building sneeze guards to try to be an essential service in other areas, and that took off. I can't tell you how many we sold, thousands and thousands of sneeze guards over that 8 to 10 week period.
Yeah.
So I mean, we were fortunate. We didn't really have to. We just shifted what we were doing, but we didn't have to do much more than that.
Now, a sneeze guard goes a heck of a lot slower than a race car does. So.
It does. There's not nearly as many man hours in it to put it together, though.
Yeah, there's not much technical stuff that goes into that. Not like what goes into your race cars.
No, you're right.
Gary, you've been building cars for how long now? Because you did it long before Port City, right?
That would go all the way back to me still going working with my dad. Like, that would be the 80s.
Wow.
Late 80s and early 90s, we were building cars and fixing cars for people. Yeah.
Is there much, and this may sound like a real stupid question, is there much that you used to do back then when you and your dad were fired up and doing your thing? Is there much that actually still pertains to today's car? I know the technology is out the wazoo now, but is there anything that has sort of been one of those common threads that's gone through each one of these cars?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they all have to turn left. So although the parts and pieces have changed, most of the concepts are still the same, but we just take it to another level. You know, from if you go back to late 80s, early 90s, what's different now than what we were dealing with then was that we just learned more. The cars still had to do the same things. We just found different ways to do it and make it better. But we're still doing the same. We're still doing the same things. Ironically, or you know, a funny story. We built a modified this winter for a customer in Virginia, stock front clip. It was full size Impala front clip, which would be the same frame we used when we were building those modifieds to run Scotia Speed World on Sunday afternoon. And I took a picture of it when it was done and sent it to my father, because it was essentially the same thing. It was the same size tire. It was the same offset wheels. This modified could run a quick change rear end. But I took a picture of it, and then I had a picture of the modified that I used to race, and I sent them both to my father and said, "Man, if I knew then what I know now."
Would have won a lot of races.
Yeah. But that was a fun project for us, because that was, I grew up building that stuff.
That's really neat. Gary, yep. Looking at and kind of, you know, feeding off this same question, because it's a topic that comes up quite a bit. You know, over the last little bit, you know, obviously RTR has got a really great partnership with Pit Row TV, and we got a chance to actually take a look and peruse through the GRIP seminar content, you know, in preparation for this talk. I know we've had you on the program to talk about the GRIP seminar in the past, and obviously it's not for a few months or for, you know, a handful of months for the 2020 version. You know, talk a little bit, you know, give us a synopsis of you know, the overall GRIP seminar and then why people should take a look at it and take a download, check it out, and then come down and see it.
Well, Jason and I started it, must be 10 years ago now, with the idea of we were taken for granted what we had access to. Like, you know, it's nothing for us to be in a wind tunnel or on a chassis dyno or at a KNC rig or and the technology that was here, it all at some point or another, it all leaves this area and trickles out. And we just felt like as young guys racing, if we had access to things like that, you know, our racing would have been better. So we just wanted to create a platform that people could come and attend and get a wealth of knowledge, that although the price of the ticket often sounds expensive, when you think of the amount of days at a track and sets of tires and laps on motors and fuel to have access to that kind of information, it's cheap.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, like, you know, our motto is not that you're not going to come to grip and we're going to give you the magic setup, because everybody's racing is different. Every driving style is different. What our goal is to provide you with the information and the tools and the knowledge for you to be able to leave and go make your particular race program better. And we get so much positive feedback each year of you know, attendees that are running better than they were the year before and enjoying the sport more because of it. And that's all we really ever wanted to do it for, was that so that the guy that's, you know, racing somewhere that's completely removed from this area and this technology, or even other big hubs, you know, like, you know, the Indiana area is, you know, full of technology as well. The guy that's not around that has an avenue. He doesn't have to know somebody that knows somebody that thinks they know somebody. There is an avenue for people to come and try to improve the program.
Yeah, and that's the whole name of the game, right? You want to be in when you're at the level that that you guys focus in on. It's, you know, pro late model, limited late model, super late model, that whole end of things, modifieds as well. You're in there, but the principles, I can't tell you how many times as a track owner back when I owned the Speedway that I would have guys come out and test and tune. I wouldn't stand over top of their car and watch what adjustments they were doing. I always stood back from a distance and let the guys do their thing. But I can tell you that I would mentally take a note, watch the guy go out on the racetrack. He'll go out and, you know, you can tell when the car's pushing and when it's sliding. Mm-hmm. You can hear the tires squealing and everything else. And they would come in and literally throw the kitchen sink at it and change all these different aspects. Bar was going up. This was going down. We're going to change this, change that. They would make way too many changes. And I thought, you know what? You're wasting your time and your money, guys. You don't know what the adjustments are even doing when you make all those changes.
That's right.
And that's the thing. If you back it up a square and really listen to somebody that knows what they're doing, I believe you will drill down and show them what each change will do. And then they have to adapt to it with their driving style, what they will. And that's the cool part about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's amazing. And today's technology, things keep changing. How many times have we seen where somebody will purchase a brand new car from a premier builder, and then there's question on whether, oh, is that legal or is that not, you know, or is a series or tour going to allow this now? It just changes all the time. It must be difficult for you guys to stay up on top of things.
It's it's a challenge because, you know, development costs money, right? Like that's expensive. The more you try to develop and learn and improve, that becomes an expensive endeavor. And I never really appreciated how that affected you until after we purchased Ford City, and that becomes an even bigger focus, you know, because before we purchased Port City, it was just my own racing. But now after, you know, purchasing Port City, it's the racing for every Port City customer that's out there.
Yeah, wild
so
stuff.
You're developing for, you know, a country full of race teams, not just what you're trying to do with the one driver you have.
And you're getting the data, right? You're getting the data from across the country, too, both sides of the border, and that's got to be value to everybody.
That is the plus side of it, yep.
Yeah.
Gary, obviously, you know, with the entire, you know, purchase and the move from Michigan down south, it's definitely, you know, a big name. Port City Race Cars have been in the sport for a tremendous amount of time.
Yep.
How much different is it today from where it was? Number one, question number one. Number two, what is still the same?
So when we got done packing things up there, Harley handed me a picture he had mounted in his office, and it was an aerial photo of the property from the day that it started all the way up until, I think, the most recent picture would be 2016. I'd have to, don't quote me on that, but it was like from 1975 all the way up to all different aerial photos. And it started off as a 2,000 square foot building, and it ended, or grew to, didn't end that way, but it grew to, he had three 30,000 square foot buildings.
Wow.
And, you know, a massive parking lot. And, so it was a pretty impressive operation. It, you know, was one building was machine shop, one building was the fab shop, and one building was the warehouse for the parts department. And, you know, it was an impressive operation. Right now, you know, when we purchased it, it was in a 30,000 square foot, the whole thing was in a 30,000 square foot building. He sold the machine shop some years ago. And, you know, as we grow and learn, you figure out ways to make things more efficient. So he was able to condense it into, one 30,000 square foot building. And then, that's pretty much what we have. It's two buildings, but it's a total of that. So, you know, how much it's changed, it's a constant, in the little over 2 years, or I guess it was November of 18, so just under 2 years that we've been operating it here in North Carolina. I can't tell you how much it's evolved. A lot of because I've never managed inventory of that magnitude and the purchasing of it and the sale of it and keeping it flowing. That's been a large learning curve for me. And then, you know, when we first started, you know, it was taking us, I think it was 300, I think the very first turnkey car we built was 330 man hours, which you just can't, it's got to be more efficient than that. That's just too long. And now, you know, you improve the processes to where you can manufacture better. And, you know, we're about 100 hours, a little better than 100 hours, less than that now for the same product. You know, you're just always evolving. It's I enjoy the challenge of it, to be honest. You just pick an area that you look at that you think can be improved, and it's, you work at it, no different than your particular race car. You just look at an area you think that it needs to be improved, and you try to understand how it can be better, and then you apply that. And so it's always going to evolve now. That's just my nature to begin with.
Yes.
What's the same? The service, the quality, the attention to detail, you know, those are principles that won't change.
It's wild, too, because the customers you're dealing with are racing everything from quarter mile or maybe even less than a quarter mile oval, and then they run them all the way up to some of the biggest short tracks I know up here we got Yukasa. It's a 5/8 mile, real fast track. Is there much difference between that car that runs the quarter mile or the car that's going to go run the short track nationals at Yukasa? Is there? Should you have two different cars for that, or can you build one that's going to do it all?
We kind of have to. I mean, ideally, if you were, you know, if it was a, you know, my own program, I'd have cars built to go to Bristol and Winchester, and then I'd have cars built to go everywhere else type of scenario. But you know, we have to provide a product that can be as universal as possible because, you know, our customer base are not the Rick Hendricks of the world, right? They've got one car in their garage behind their house, and you got to do all we can do to make sure that they have the best opportunity they can to be competitive when they go to any racetrack. So we try to think through the process, and it's a moving target, but you try to think through the process and create a product that will do that for people and easy to use and
refabrication.
Yeah, that's
you,
it.
You don't so, you want to have interchangeable parts, but not chop the clip off and change.
Start over. One of the biggest mind blowers I've ever had as a guy that's been in this sport, I've been seeing cars run at, you know, Sauber, Flamborough, out on the East Coast, to seeing them run at Yukasa. Those, you know, Yukasa, very fast track. Junior and I and Sue one time took off down to Rockingham when the truck series went back to Rockingham. We went there and we covered it, did some live programming. And the late models were at Rockingham. It was the Frank Kimmel Nationals weekend. And to see the late models on Rockingham, they were just flying on that racetrack. And I looked at Junior and I said, those can't be the same late models, like chassis-wise, that we see run, you know, up on our tracks, because these guys here are just literally flying.
Yeah, and those were UARA late models, so they were more like a late model stock.
Yeah,
right?
So they were closer to a late model stock. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Blew my mind.
But man, were they fast! That was just borderline unsafe. You know when you look at a race car on a racetrack, and I feel like unsafe watching a super modified go around the racetrack. I just like my skin gets the crawlies. You know, like you're like, oh, that's unsafe. And then the Can-Am midgets do that same thing to me. The World of Outlaws do that same thing to me. And the only asphalt racing that wasn't like a midget with a wing that did that thing to me was watching the URARA late models at Rockingham. Like, it was just, it was craziness. The guys must have had so much fun out on that racetrack because they were just scorching.
Corey LaJoy won that day.
Yeah.
We interviewed him, and he always had a trait where he'd give his shoes away if he won the race.
Yeah.
So Corey LaJoy won it. I remember, I believe it was Ronnie Bassett also there that day. Watching these guys were just amazing. Gary, for guys that are running short track, maybe they're just getting into late model racing. Maybe they're just stepping into this sort of realm, and they're going to look at a guy like Gary Crooks, Port City Race Cars, North Carolina. Oh, that's too big. That's too far away for me. It isn't really, right? They can contact you, and they can look at what you do, and it doesn't matter where they are.
Oh, absolutely. And we have dealers all across the country to make it easier for people to get their car serviced, so that if there's somebody in Maine that wrecked one of our cars, they don't got to come to North Carolina to get it fixed. So we have dealers all across the country that can service customers and make it easier for them. And you can deal with us direct, or you can go through some of the dealers that we have.
That's cool. And that's the cool part about it. The seminars, all that kind of stuff. Best spot, I guess, to point everybody is right back to Port City Race Cars. Where's the best spot for someone like that to go to?
Where's the best spot for, what do you mean?
Well,
I didn't understand.
If they're looking for information or maybe looking at picking up the seminars, does that all start in the fall, the seminars?
The seminar is usually right around the first weekend of February.
Okay.
So. And, you know, you can find all that information on our website at portcityracing.com or gripseminars.com. And, you know, we have a very active social media presence. So, I mean, you can usually message us on Facebook and somebody will answer you almost immediately.
Builder-wise, you guys have the best social media out of all the builders. If I was allowed to give out an award for that, you guys post process, just like you were saying, back to that car, back to the modified. I'm sure that there was pictures of that posted. But you've got lots of content on there. And it's not just, you're not just pitching, you know, the entire time on social. You're posting, you know, the new trends, and you're like, watching Port City Race Cars on Facebook or Twitter, and taking a look at what you guys have online. Like, you guys, second to none, hands down, bar none, you guys take the cake on best builder social media presence, just so you know. I'm not blowing smoke either.
I appreciate that. I will make sure tomorrow morning in our meetings that I pass that along to the great men and women that do all that.
Well,
I can't take all the credit for that. That's for sure.
It's all part of the team, and that's what makes a winning formula. What do you got on the schedule wise? Where is Gary Crooks going to show up? You got some big races coming up that you yourself are going to attend.
The last year I didn't get out much with the purchase of the business and moving it and having to stay there to manage it. I didn't get out much, but this year I have been out. This is the first weekend I've been home in town for probably 10 weeks.
Wow.
We've been away racing. We've got a lot of new customers up in the New England area that started this year with us. And so I spent a fair amount of time up there, supporting and helping. You know, we run our house car out of here with Mike Hopkins driving it. And you know, our plan was to run the cars tour. So tentatively our next race with him will be at Hickory the 1st of August.
Mm-hmm.
If our governor doesn't put an end to that, and I'm skeptical on whether we will get to race it or not, but. Regardless, if you know, if they're going to run the Cars Tour races, we're going to be at it with Mike. We're going to run. We'll go back to Jennerstown the week after that for the Motor Mountain race that they have. Their big weekly local show that they have every year. The people at Jennerstown they put on a great show, and it's a great facility, and they do a very, very, very good job of promoting it and promoting the racers as well. I take my hat off and I compliment them every time I'm at their place or at their facility and see them. They do a phenomenal job. So anytime we can go and help support what they got going on, we certainly will do that. And then who knows what's after that? You know, maybe if the summer goes well, we'll head to Pensacola and take in a Blizzard race at the end of the year or something, and then look going to the Derby.
Well, fingers crossed, things still happen out in Nova Scotia, and maybe, just maybe, we can get the IWK 250 2020 edition underway. Well, I know we've all got our fingers crossed for that. It would have been this weekend had this COVID thing not shown up, and that's definitely one that we've all got circled on our calendar.
Yeah, and I don't. That's one of my favorite races to go to every year, and has been for a long time. And I put the IWK 250. I put that up with, you know, the Oxford 250 and the Snowball Derby. Like, it's just good hard racing, and you don't know who's going to win it. Like, there's nobody that really runs away with it. You don't go there thinking that so and so's got it wrapped up. It's always a good show. They do a good job of it.
Absolutely. And God willing, we get it in sometime August, September, whenever it's possible. But The key thing is everybody's got to stay safe, wear their mask, and maybe we can get some more racing. And Gary, this has been great catching up with you tonight. It's been far too long since we've had you on Racetime Radio, and we got to get you back on again here before too long. We'll get you back on and see how things are coming along.
All righty, I appreciate it. Before I head out, I just wanted to acknowledge that the racing industry lost an icon this week in the passing of Robert Hamke, and to all his family and friends that my thoughts and prayers are with them. He's been a good friend to me and very instrumental in a large part of the last 25 years of my life down here. He will be missed, and it was a sad day.
Absolutely. And our condolences to the family. Absolutely. Gary, you take it easy down there. Keep turning left and keep those guys turning left, will ya?
You got it. You guys stay safe.
You betcha. That's Gary Crook, Sport City Race Cars. You can check him out. Wealth of knowledge, a great guy, and a great guy to do business with. If you're in the market, look up Port City Race Cars. We're going to hit a break. We will be back. Tracy Hoskins on the other side. Stay with us.
This is Jerry Paxton, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Coast to coast, coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
We don't even eat dunk sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
There we go. We are back with you live tonight from Racetime Radio. A little Ked bringing us back from the break, as he does every time.
Where's the new stuff, Ked?
Well, it's coming. It's coming. We got a brand new opener.
Come on.
Wheelhouse is working on it.
Come on.
Wheelhouse, you wait. That's all coming. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in. How about our in-race reporter from down? She always goes down south, and she's at racetracks, and Tracy's so good. She gives us a little report every now and then, and we got her tonight on the hotline. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. So you made your way back down there, down south, and Montgomery Speedway is where you got back to. What was that like getting back to the track?
To be honest, it was good to be back at the track. I don't think I realized how much I missed it until pulling in, and it was just like, it was just good. I think I take for granted how much we usually typically get to, and COVID's put a stop to that back home. So these guys have been racing down here for a couple months now, so it was just good to get back at the racetrack.
Good stuff. Good car counts. Everything looked decent down there. What was happening when you were at Montgomery?
So the super late models in the Southern Super Series were at Montgomery that first weekend. Bubba took home the win that weekend, and then the Outlaws were the supporting show, and John Heil took the win for his fifth consecutive win since the Derby last year. So that was a good win for Gark. That was Montgomery Motor Speedway, and then we were at Five Flags this past weekend. Friday night.
Yeah, and another good show by the sounds of it. Now, in Florida, was there fans in attendance at Five Flags? Is it opened back up, or what was the conditions like there?
Fans at both racetracks. So, at Five Flags, when we signed in at pit gate and all that, we had to sign a waiver, and they took our temperature, and they're very much pushing social distancing and 6 feet apart and stuff like that. So they can have fans. They have a restriction on how many fans they're allowed to have. I'm not sure what the percentage of tickets they can sell, but they do have a limit that they're allowed to let in.
Now, that racetrack, Five Flags Speedway, Pensacola, Florida, I know you've been there a number of times. That track, full of character. It's fast. It's crazy. It's the home of the Snowball Derby. What was it like? Now, you go there for the Derby. It's in December. It'll be different conditions than what it's going to be like in July. What was it like being at the at Pensacola in July?
Hot. It was very, very hot.
No doubt.
I think I took for granted just how hot it actually gets here in the middle of summer, and that I was actually traveling back down in July. So it was just really, really hot. It was like 40-plus degrees at the racetrack, in addition to like the Humidex. So it was just... It was a hot couple days.
I can well imagine. How about the cars? Did they react totally different? I guess they'd be sliding around a lot.
A little bit slick. And you know what? The supporting shows, the sportsman race that was there, they put on a fantastic show. They were three wide coming to the checkered and for the last couple laps. So they put on a really, really good show. And the truck race that was there too, there was a lot of drama that happened there at the end of that race, but they put on a really good show, and it was all live on B51 for everybody who can't actually make it there, so they always do good broadcasts for that.
Incredible. Speed 51, true pros. I bet I wouldn't doubt that they're the originators of the pay-per-view short track coverage that we all love watching today. I believe Dillner was the first guy to start all that kind of stuff out.
Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful because, you know, for the past few months, I think all of us back home, since they've been able to race down here, we've just been tuned in, just watching racing since we can't go racing. So,
yeah, just amazing. I know Augie Grill comes away with the win. You were pretty well embedded with that race team. Would have been an exciting time for Augie and the 112 crew.
Yes, it was good to be back in victory lane with him. Very much so.
Yeah, amazing. Trace, you have picked up and named some different stars. When you're down there, I know you're watching the races, you're focusing in, sometimes you're spotting for teams, but you get an opportunity to have a look around. And I know I asked you this question before, who's got your eye as one of those upcomers? And I believe it was Garcia that was the one the last time we spoke. Is the same true today?
Yeah, and I mean, he finished in the top three at Montgomery when they were there. And he also finished third last night when they were at Nashville. So he's definitely one of those pro and super late model guys that's up and coming and one to watch for sure.
Yeah, still lighting the lamp, right? He's coming. It's not going to be long. We're going to see lots of victories out of him. What's next for you? Whereabouts are you heading? What's the plan?
So next weekend we have off. There's not really much racing happening around. And then the following weekend we head down to Pensacola for the super late model for the next Blizzard Series race on the Friday night, and then Montgomery on the Saturday night for the Pro Late Model race, in addition to the Modified to Mayhem, are also there on Saturday night.
So you still got lots coming at you.
Yes. Now, I'm down here for a little bit yet.
I was going to say, now how long are you going to be down there? Because, you know, a release just came out this past week, the APC series is going to go back on track up here in Canada. You'll have to tune into G4 so you don't miss your content up here.
Yes, very much so. I'm here probably till the first couple weeks of August, and then I'll be heading back home.
Ah, so I believe their schedule fires up August the 8th. So maybe G4's one night, the other stuff you just may be able to see it from a distance up here, because there's not going to be any fans. You'll have to work your way into a team.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'm glad to hear that things are going good down there. Some great racing on the racetrack. And you're being able to get out and see some, and that's key. Good stuff.
Yes, very happy to be able to be back down here.
You betcha. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll grab Augie. Is he close to you down there?
Yeah, he's actually right beside me.
Is he? Okay, we're going to hit this break, Trace, and then when we come back, we'll grab Augie Grill, and we'll talk to him about the big win Friday night. Sound good?
All right, sounds good.
You betcha, Tracy. Thanks so much. We will be back on Race Time. Stay right there. Augie Grill coming up.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Just a quick break, and we are back with you live tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. We're going to go back to the same hotline, and we're going to bring up, how about a short track veteran ace? This guy lights the lamp whenever he jumps inside his race car. Let's welcome in Augie Grill, shall we? How you doing there, Augie?
I'm pretty good, man. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
Oh, we appreciate the time with you, man. Good to see you back in Victory Lane on Friday night. That modified was just a fly-in. How was that race for you?
It was a good one. We've been working hard on that thing. We've had a couple of new competitors come into our neck of the woods in the modified ranks, and we've really had to go to work and got the thing really good again. So, hopefully we can just take that and run with it.
Ah, those pesky kids, right? They show up, and some of them are real hot shoes, and it makes you elevate the bar just a little bit more. And, Augie, that's the cool part. When I've ever watched races, I love watching your speed weeks when you go down to New Smyrna. I get a chance to watch for the 9 nights that the coverage is on, and watching you bounce back and forth from your late model into your modified. I'll tell you what, you're a show watching you. It's kind of cool when you get an opportunity to run like 9 nights in a row. It's got to be grueling for guys like you, but it's got to be stuff that you live for.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that is a lot of fun to be able to do that. But I'm 43 now, and it's getting harder and harder to be able to do that every year, to be honest with you. But, yeah, we enjoy it. Anytime I can make laps in a race car, it's just benefiting me, honestly. So, you know, I like to try to take as many laps as I can. But yeah, speed weeks is definitely a good time, and thankfully I've had people here the last few years to be able to, you know, drive two different cars the last 2 years, and somebody else pay for everything. That makes it a lot helpful, a lot of help. So, yeah, it's been fun, and hopefully we can continue that.
This year, the final night of Super Late Model competition for you didn't go the way that you planned. That was a hard lick. How bad was that car after that?
Honestly, it wasn't as bad as it looked, I don't think.
Okay.
It knocked all the right front suspension off, obviously. But I had to replace right side of the front clip and this, that, and the other. You know,
gotcha.
A third of the body, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't as bad as I've had, which maybe that's I've kind of been a who's who of hard licks over my career. Maybe I'm not the good I'm not the right person to ask about that.
Hey man, when you're running up front every single time, you're going to get into those, right? That's the way that it is, and you're a guy that is running up front. Now, hey, right off the top, as soon as we launched into this show tonight, you know, obviously, you know, we're based up here in Canada, and last year I wanted to touch base because there was a lot of people, and we haven't talked to you since. But there was a lot of people wondering where Augie Grill was at the Canadian Short Track Nationals last year. The rumors were flying from everything from the FBI following you up here and, you know, everything else that happens in a garage area at a racetrack. But what happened? It was just border?
I've got some things in my past that kind of caught up with me, and I didn't do the proper searching before I went up there. It's just some paperwork I need to do. To be able to make it into Canada, which it's, you know, just 30 minutes of paperwork for me, and I could have got in no problem.
Exactly.
But, I just assumed that time had elapsed and everything would be fine, and that was just dumb on my part. But no, it's definitely no FBI investigation, nothing
no,
like that.
No, I know that.
Everything was fine. Just, like I said, it just, something that happened a long time ago, and, I thought it would be by now would been kind of forgot about, but it wasn't, and you know, it's on me. So we had to just turn around with our tails in between our legs and come back home. But hopefully this year we can make it up there and get across the border and have no problems with all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't that be cool? Hopefully this virus checks out and Jocasa can get that Canadian Short Track Nationals in. I'll tell you, it's a whopper of a show, as you know, and you would fit that show like a glove. That 5/8 mile racetrack, I think that'd be a track that you just love to fly around.
Yeah, I think so. You know, just looking at some of the in-car camera stuff and watching a couple of the races that's been there here in the last few years, I think it's my cup of tea. Really good asphalt and really, really flat and really, you know, just really good bite. I feel like it'd be where I would really flourish. I hope I get to run up there this year. I hope they can actually put it on. But yeah, I think it'd be one of my probably top choices to be able to go race.
So you're in the modified, you're in the late model. What's your schedule looking like from here right through? Is it bouncing back and forth, or what's happening with Augie Grill this year?
I'll be honest with you, I don't schedule that very far ahead. I know what I'm doing in 2 weeks. And honestly, after that, I'll figure that out in 2 weeks. So, I kind of race as I see fit. And, I mean, I feel like I'm getting in the right position with my supercar. I'm kind of gaining some, you know, growing some legs there and getting a little faster. And, the modified, we got back where we wanted it to be. So, you know, here between now and the next 6 weeks, I might race every weekend, but, it's kind of according to how the next week goes. You know, at the shop, kind of depends on how much work I got at the shop. If I got stuff at the shop that needs to be done, then, well, I'm not going to make it to the next race. So, you know, I hate it that way. I wish somebody would just come in and say, hey, I'll pay for anywhere you want to go race anytime. And, you know, I wouldn't have these problems, but, I got to make a living first before I can go to the racetrack. And, that's bottom line, honestly.
This sport would be a lot easier if those guys just lined up at the back gate, right? If they just lined up the back gate and there was that one guy that, you know, you just pick your driver and you're just going to pay for everything. That, I mean, it would be perfect. I think, you know, I think this sport would be the biggest thing since sliced bread if that's the way that it worked. All the rich guys should just stand at the back gate.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And honestly, with the way that I hate to call any names, but the way the direction NASCAR has taken, I don't know that that's not coming our way. I think it's really opened a lot of eyes, and people are going in a different direction now. And maybe it'll help out the late model world. Maybe it won't, but I'm really optimistic that it will.
Yeah, when you look at it, back in the day when Jack Roush was running the Gong Show, and he's looking for the next talented guy. You don't see that anymore, do you? It's all, you know, if you got a sponsor and you've got some talent, come on over this way.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's money's the name of the game. There's no doubt about that. And probably before the Gong Show, it was starting to go that direction. And it's sad and I hate it because, yeah, definitely, in my opinion, the best talent didn't make it up there. It's obvious Wayne got kicked out and he's winning everything he's going to now. And, you know, I'm sure before it's over with, they're going to be begging him to come back. But I don't like the turn they've taken, and you know, I might be in a small box there. But hopefully, like I said, at the end of the day, in the next 6 months, next year, whatever, we'll see some of that money trickling down to the late model world, and you know, making our racing a lot better.
Absolutely, and you know, we just had Gary Crooks on the hotline before you, and obviously two very iconic builders down in the Southeast. When you look at the state of the sport, Augie, there's no better guy to ask, but the state of the sport across the board on the late model side, or not necessarily on the late model side, on the Saturday night side, where do you feel that the state of the sport is right now?
Well, honestly, I think Tracy was kind of alluding to that earlier. Down in here in our area, we've still, you know, we had to take a month or two off there, but we have been, it seems like, the hub for racing. And, you know, between Pensacola and Montgomery, that's two racetracks not far from us. So, they've really been able to race. I'm going to one place or the other, it seems like, almost every weekend. So, Pensacola, we were there Friday night. You know, just for basically just a regular show, and the stands weren't packed, but they got a lot of stands there, a lot of seats there, and I feel like if the stands were normal size, like a Saturday night racetrack should be, it would have been packed, and the pits were packed. There's people everywhere, so I feel like things are going pretty good down in our area. I don't go to the dirt tracks any, so I don't know about them. But, you know, as far as asphalt late model around here, I feel like things are still clicking on pretty good. We're still getting good car counts, and, you know, hopefully we can just keep that going, and hopefully the government will let us keep going.
Yeah, and that's the key, right? Everybody's, you know, we got to get rid of this virus. It's just got to go. And then things are going to improve everywhere. Augie, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We really appreciate the time. And hitting victory lane again. Do you keep track of victories? Do you know how many you've got?
80,000.
I wish it's that many. Honestly, we were talking about it after the race Friday night. Since I started driving the BMF late model for John Howell, I think in 2017 was the first time. We were trying to figure out how many races we'd won the other night. I do not. I'm terrible at keeping notes of any kind, so I have no idea. But we started counting it up, and I think that was 7 or 8 wins just at Pensacola with that car. So, you know, I really don't know. I'd like to say it's 100, but I can't say honestly.
It's amazing. It would be so interesting, guys like you, guys like Junior Hanley. If by chance someone would have ever kept notes from the time that they stepped into a race car till, and you're still going, but a guy like Junior Hanley stepping out, I know you can go back and look at the trophies, but he's probably given away more trophies than he's still got in stock, so to speak, and that's probably the same with you.
Yeah, I guarantee he's given away more than he's kept. It gets to a point of, you know, when I first started winning races years ago, I wanted everyone on my counter, everyone on my, you know, on my mantle, wherever. But you get to a point, it's like, I'm running out of room for these things. And not saying that to be to be high and mighty, but it just gets to a point. It's like, I want to win the next one, but that trophy doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Yeah, you need room in the shop for the car, not the trophy.
Exactly. And Friday night we won, and John Howell, we were standing there talking. I said, "Here, you take this trophy home. I've got plenty of them at the shop. You just take it home and put it wherever you want to." And it's even bad. About everywhere we race, you get trophies for second or third place, which I think is a bad idea. I've given a lot of those away just at the racetrack. Just fans coming down out of the stands. Hey, you want this trophy? Not that I don't care for it, but I didn't win.
Yeah.
I didn't get what I wanted. Second or third is not what I wanted. So,
absolutely.
That's the way I am. I'm sure Junior Henley would agree with me 100% on that one. I would almost guarantee it. It's great that y'all talk about Junior. I don't really know him that well personally, but he was a great racer. And when I was a kid going to all-pro races back in the 80s, it was awesome watching him come down and race with our guys down around here. That's definitely a blast from the past.
No, every chance I get that I'm at either Flamborough, Jucasa, I've even seen him up at Sauville, every chance I get, and Junior's around, I love sitting down with him. He's a wealth of knowledge, and I'll tell you what, he's got more stories. When you get to know Junior, he'll actually open up, and I know he and I have had a lot of good discussion, a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. My dad's kind of the same way. It's hard to get much out of him, but once you get to know him, he'll deliver some stories that are pretty cool to listen to. And it's neat. I hate that realm of racers or where they're at, because racing's not like it used to be. I wish it was. I love racing. Don't get me wrong, but just being around it when I was 8, 9, 10 years old and like oohing and aahing over everything at the racetrack, it's not that way anymore. The families, there's so much for people to do nowadays, and so kids take their parents completely away from everything anymore. Parents are 100% on their kids all the time, and it's definitely taking a toll on racing, I believe. And hopefully they're getting with what's going on in the world, people start getting back out to the Friday, Saturday night races, and we'll see an incline in things here in the short future.
Yeah, we get that family atmosphere back together like it used to be. I think you're going to see that, Augie. This has been great catching up with you. Congratulations on another win. And, man, we can't thank you enough for your time tonight on Race Time. Really, really appreciate it, my friend.
Well, thank you, guys. No problem. Anytime. I love doing radio shows. I'm not a great speaker, I don't feel like, but I really like doing radio shows.
You are a great speaker,
you
Augie.
You are. You're a dynamite driver, too. Always entertaining. Augie, you go win another one.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You betcha. That's Augie Grill. They just don't quite make them any better than that right there, Junior.
We had Cole Powell on the show a few months back, and he did a list for us of all the tracks that he's raced at.
Yep.
Followed up with J.R. Fitzpatrick, did the same thing. DJ Kennington started to type it out, and I think he forgot about it. I would love to see the novel that Augie Grill would have to write list all the racetracks that he's raced at.
Can you imagine? It'd be easier, it'd be a smaller list if he would put the tracks down he hasn't raced at.
100%. That guy right there, short track ace. You can't say enough about it. It doesn't even do it justice to call him a short track ace. He's just a staple in late model racing, and just a great cat.
Yeah, he sure awesome. Is. Hey, I want to also send our thoughts and prayers out. There was a Xfinity crew member off DGM that got injured on his way to Texas. Please, if you've got a chance, go on Facebook, go to DGM, have a look at that. Send some support that way if you can. Amber Balkan, also involved in a heavy crash at a racetrack, I believe. She is doing okay. She is in the hospital, still healing up. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Amber. Get well soon, Amber. Want to see you back in a race car. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio Studio. Want to thank you all for tuning in. Be safe out there, everybody. Wear that mask. Let's get to the racetrack. Hopefully they can open them all up and we can get back to it. But that's going to do it for us here tonight. Be safe. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.